My name is Ellen Durkee. I represent the federal defendants. I'm sharing time today with Tribes Council, and we'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, so let me get started. The plaintiffs in this case brought the case to challenge Reclamation's decision to release water from the Trinity River dams in August and September of 2013 to prevent the catastrophic salmon die-off downstream of the dams in the lower Klamath River like that which occurred in 2002. The lower Klamath River refers to the segment of river between the ocean and the confluence of the Trinity and Klamath Rivers. The Trinity River is the largest tributary of the Klamath River, and salmon that originate in the Trinity River must swim through the lower Klamath River on their way to and from the ocean. Before I get immersed in the legal authority issue, I just want to make sure that I tell the court today where Reclamation is in its process to develop a long-term plan for the protection of adult salmon in the lower Klamath River. Since briefing, Reclamation has issued a draft environmental impact statement in October. The comment period on that closed on December 5th, and currently Reclamation plans to have a final EIS in January and a record of decision in February of next year.
Which will allow for more water than the fire rod?
Well, until we have the record of decision.
Well, I very much draft understand why you're telling us about what you're doing. I mean, so I don't get the details. Assuming that becomes final, it would authorize the release of more water.
The preferred alternative would allow release of more water than the rod releases under the authority of the 1955 Act. But there's also an alternative in there, which is the one that plaintiffs have.
What do they use for authority?
Under the proposed plan, and thus far they have cited the first proviso of the 1955 Act, the fish preservation provision, and the second proviso, which is not an issue today, but there's a second proviso in the 1955 Act that provides for downstream releases in 50,000 acre feet.
So the new proposed areas in the for the authority on the 55 Act?
Under the preferred alternative, yes. But what I was going to say, another alternative that is being considered in the EIS would be to use the rod releases instead. At least in some part. To use the 2000 record decision releases under the that were part of the Improvement Act. This is the position that plaintiffs have taken here, which is that rescheduling of those releases.
What years are that? I'm thinking about that act in terms of.
This would be the 1992 Improvement Act.
This would be the 1992 Act, I see. Okay.
Right. And so I think the preferred alternative is a combination of using those releases and some supplemental releases on the 55 Act.
That's actually further, but just so we should understand. So what you're saying is what we say today, or if we say anything today in our decision about, not today, I mean the day we issued the decision, in this case, about the authority on the 55 Act, will presumably directly impact the proposed EIS of ground, right?
Right. That's our concern in bringing this appeal, even though clearly the action is over.
I was going to ask you this question. What's the point of all of this? Since there's no damages being sought from the past, and it's literally water over the dam, right? So I was just wondering why we're here. We're here because there is another action that depends on interpretation of the same section.
Correct, although I would also point out that the long-term plan is designed to cover the years of 2017 to 2030, and therefore it wouldn't fall, you know, once it's issued, I don't think it would necessarily fall within a capable of repetition yet of any review analysis here.
Counselor, there was one question that I had with this, which goes along with my good colleague's questions. Why did we have to get to the 1955 Act in this particular action?
Well,
I mean, it seems to me that what was alleged by your opposition were allegations that didn't necessarily have to do with the 1955 Act, but violations of other acts. And the district court very quickly said there were no violations of those acts. But he went on to say 1955 doesn't give you any authority to do this again. My question was, why did he have to get to that?
Well, I don't know that he had to get to that, quite frankly. I think
if
that
he
the
didn't
claim
have to get to that, why are we getting to it on appeal?
Because the court...
We're not supposed to deal with hypothetical questions. We're not supposed to deal with questions that are is. We're supposed to deal with something that's absolute. And it seemed to me that reading very carefully what they alleged did not suggest the 1955 Act was involved at all.
Well, we certainly would be satisfied if the court would recognize that the court's holding or discussion, as you will, on the 1955 Act was, you know, went beyond the claims in this case. But we were faced with a judgment in which the court said, I'm going to make a declaratory judgment on this issue, and you know, significantly said issue, not claim, because it wasn't one of the claims in the case.
Much the same question as Judge Smith. And here's how I puzzled it out late last night, and it was very late and maybe quite fuzzy. The actions that the district court took in on the summary judgment were not final judgments. I mean, they were just orders. But then, eventually, what was entered was a final judgment that looked to me like a declaratory. There was nothing in the complaint that asked for a declaration, asked for an injunction, or I forget exactly what they were asked for. But eventually the parties came up with proposed judgment, the way it looked like, and then the court sort of melded the two positions and came up with what looked to me like a declaratory judgment. And despite the fact that we're not supposed to give advisory opinions, that is this declaratory judgment, that we know we have jurisdiction to, it's the declaratory judgment. So that's sort of how I answer when I just this question to me. But that was just entirely sort of something I made up. Is that the government's position? Is that the declaratory action? Is that how we get jurisdiction to talk about this?
Well, I believe that, if I recall correctly, and you know, I apologize if I'm wrong, but I believe that their complaint did ask for a declaratory judgment.
The federal rules say you can enter judgment to confront proof and so on. So whatever they ask for, we look at the final judgment, the judgment appealed for, and to me it looked like a declaratory judgment.
Yes. That's what it looks like to me as well, such declaratory judgment.
So let's get to the 1955 Act. Why is it applicable?
It's applicable because the language of it clearly allows this kind of releases. It provides as a limitation on the integration of the Trinity River Division into the Central Valley Project as authorizing and directing the Secretary of the Interior to adopt appropriate measures to ensure preservation and propagation of fish and wildlife. And that provision was never repealed expressly or impliedly, and it's the kind of language, this is precisely the kind of thing that Congress wanted to provide authority for reclamation to do, which is to prevent a massive catastrophic die-off of salmon.
Well,
realize that's what the court said, but I think it's telling that not a single party here defends that, because there is nothing in the statute which would provide for a geographic limit like that, and ordinarily a court doesn't read in elements that aren't there.
It says, including but not limited to, the maintenance of the flow of the Trinity River.
Right, and that does not mean it's geographically limited to the Trinity River. Flow has to be measured as of a particular point, and I would suggest that what it was saying there was that, you know, you have to have a point at which you're measuring, if you use CFSs, but also that it's including but not limited to.
I understand. So if I find that a pretty broad statute, where am I going to go to determine just exactly what it means?
Well, I think that...
I mean, I don't think it's absolutely clear and unambiguous, so where am I going to go?
Well, I think that, you know, if you have broad language, you still can apply broad language, but where do you go? You go to what is the reasonable interpretation, which is what the reclamation and the tribes have provided here.
Well, don't I go to legislative history?
Well, you can go to legislative history and it supports our position.
How does the Spencer Declaration support the position?
Because it was showing that the priority, well, first of all, it says that only a small amount would be sent to the Central Valley Project. It says that they would, it mentions the Klamath River Basin. It talks about wanting, you know, that this project would maintain and even improve the fisheries. I would like to answer more questions, and I will if you'd like me to, but I'm also cognizant of the time, and I think it's important that you hear from the tribe. So if I may stop there, thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Tom Slosser on behalf of the Hoopa Valley Indian Tribe. The tribe believes the Secretary has authority to protect these fish when they're migrating through the lower Klamath River. You could easily call that stretch of the river the lower Trinity. That's the only way to the ocean. In
1955,
it is called the lower Klamath, Your Honor, that's correct. But in 1955, Congress thought it was doing something good for the Klamath Basin. Why was that? It was because Section 2 directs the Secretary to meet the needs of the basin. Judge Smith asked about Commissioner Spencer of the Bureau of Reclamation.
I don't get in the way of your answer, and I wish to continue. You are now arguing that the 55 Act authorizes this. Is it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead with your answer. I just want to make sure what it was going to.
And you're not asserting that the lower Klamath is part of the Trinity River Basin, correct?
We're not asserting that, Your Honor. The Trinity flows into the Klamath and then to the ocean. The Trinity is part of the Klamath Basin.
I looked at a map.
Yes. Mr. Spencer said, and I'm quoting, "We have been acutely aware of the importance of not depriving the basin of origin of water, which it needs now or will ever need. And when you have long-term droughts, as we have had, there are special needs for water. And the Trinity, the Klamath Basin, had the priority for use of that water. The 1955 Act is the organic act for this project, and it gave the Secretary of Interior a big tool for assisting fisheries, and that was potential use of this reservoir. And so when the drought occurred and fish flows below the Trinity in the Klamath became so low that the fish were endangered, the Secretary had authority to take actions to preserve fish. Congressman Clara Engel, for whom the reservoir was named, said, whatever is necessary to maintain and propagate fish in the Trinity River, he, the Secretary, is by the legislation, if it is enacted, instructed to do. So the 1955 Act, broad authority, was used to make these water releases. It was used in the 1970s when fisheries problems were first detected. It has never been repealed. plain language of the Act authorizes these releases.
What about the assertion that maybe 3406B23 implied a restricted or limited the scope of the 55 Act?
B23 simply doesn't say that. And B23 is a statute enacted for the benefit of Indians and refers specifically to HOPA. The restoration program under B23 is for a particular stretch of the Trinity River. It was not addressed to these drought problems.
Okay, thank you, sir,
for the time. Excuse me.
Thank you. Okay, we'll hear from the other side.
They have one more that wants to talk.
Oh, I'm sorry, you said.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Amy Cordalis, General Counsel and member of the Yurok Tribe, intervener defendant in this case. The federal government's reliance on Proviso 1 of the 1955 Act to provide the fall flows is supported by and consistent with the federal government's trust obligations to the Yurok Tribe because the fishery, because the FARs were necessary to prevent another devastating fish kill on the lower Klamath River.
Well, that sounds good, but no place does the government talk about the trust obligation.
Your Honor, in the record, they talk about the trust responsibility.
What they say, and I'll read it, giving authority to implement the 2013 flow augmentation releases is totally the 1955 Act. It doesn't talk about the tribal trust responsibilities as an independent source of authority.
Your Honor, the FONSI, which is in the record, states that the trust responsibility is additional support for the federal government. The independent
additional support, but not some they used.
That's right. It's additional support here. And in the context of this case, the trust responsibility is a pillar of the Yurok Tribe's relationship with the federal government. And how we look at it here...
How can I use the other source of authority proffered by you if the government didn't use it at all?
The government used it as additional authority.
Where?
In the FONSI, in which they said that's how they were moving forward with the action here to provide the FARs.
I'll look at that again. I didn't see it.
Well, in this court, in Hupa v. Ryan, held that the federal trust responsibility applies to all federal actions, and that requires the United States to protect the Yurok fishery when operating the Trinity River Division. Reclamation must exercise its statutory duties, like those in the 1955 Act, regarding reclamation projects affecting the Klamath River, consistent with its trust obligation to protect the Yurok fishery.
Is the FONSI record in the Excess Record?
Yes, Your Honor. And I would be, if you look to ER 20, page 225 and 226, I believe that's where it's at.
That's where I'll find it.
Your Honor, I am working with my co-counsel to clarify that, but I believe that's accurate. And I just want to note that the United States, through 1855 and 1891, executive orders reserved for the Yurok people the lower Klamath River itself and 1 mile on either side of the river from the Pacific Ocean to the confluence of the Klamath and Trinity Rivers. And this reserved the entire lower Klamath River for the Yurok people. As this court noted in Everhart, that created a trust responsibility for the federal government to protect our fishery, a fishery that the court noted is not much less necessary to the existence of the Yurok people than the atmosphere they breathe. In this case, how I see the trust responsibility supporting the federal authority in the 1955 Act is that the 1955 Act requires the federal government to provide water protect fish. The trust responsibility requires the federal government to take actions to protect the Yurok people and our fishery. When you read those together, the statutory and trust obligations in a commensurate way, which is what the court has done in Everhart, that requires a holding here that the federal government has authority to provide the FARs. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Daniel O'Hanlon appearing on behalf of the Cross Appellants, San Luis and Delta Muna Water Authority, and the West Coast Water District. I'd like to begin by addressing the question just asked about reliance on the tribal trust doctrine. The government did not rely on the tribal trust obligation as independent authority for the releases here. There is mention of the tribal trust obligation in the various environmental documents, but they do not rely on it as independent authority. In fact, the district court, in the briefing on summary judgment, asked for a supplemental response by the federal defendants as to whether they were citing the tribal trust as independent authority, and they said no, and the district court relied on that in its summary judgment decision.
To what extent can a court that's trying to interpret the statute, the 1955 Act, look to the tribal trust doctrine as a factor to consideration in interpreting the statute?
The doctrine, I think, is relevant to the Secretary's application of authority the Secretary has under statute, so I think it informs how the Secretary applies the statutes, but agency authority comes from Congress by statute, and so our
position... Well, why doesn't the 55 Act clearly authorize us? I sort of don't get it. I know the district court said that, but... Why don't you walk me through the act?
Yes, and there was a question asked about essentially why are we here.
That's a different question.
Okay.
That's a different question. So if you want to ask a different question, then you can go ahead and pose a different question and answer it when you have some time to do it. But now I ask you the specific question I asked you.
Yes.
Why doesn't the 55 Act say any of this by its own terms authorize?
Because, for several reasons, the first of which is the authority to make releases for the Trinity River fishery is now governed by Section 3406B23 of the Central Valley Project Improvement Act.
Where does it say that that is exclusive and overrules or invalidates anything with regard to the 55 Act?
It does not mention the 1955 Act expressly, but the subject and the fact that it doesn't, that it only mentions the Trinity River and the Trinity Basin, would give you some idea that the 55 Act, if it applies to the Klamath at all, is not modified by B23. The text of Section B23 refers to the Trinity River fishery. It doesn't refer to a geographic place, the Trinity River Basin. It refers to the fishery, and that's critically important because, as you said in the briefs that you already heard this morning, the fishery spawns in the Trinity River, goes down the Trinity River, down the lower Klamath River to the ocean, and then back up. So the fishery is not geographically confined to the basin. So,
well, which is credited, it seems to me that it is, just because it is in the basin, and it was supposed to be in the basin, it seems to me that your argument in your brief is the fishery equals fish.
Yes.
And therefore, it is greater than just the basin.
Yes.
But I guess, why would Congress use fishery when one could have used fish? Because they use fish in the statute many times.
Yes.
In fact, I can quote you some of those times. It specifically used fishery, and it specifically used fishery as it related to the Trinity Basin. Which gives another indication that this B23 does not relate other than as to the Trinity Basin, and therefore, if it doesn't amend the 1955 Act, the 1955 Act might have to do with the Klamath River.
Your Honor, I respectfully disagree with the conclusion from the text. The fishery, in fact, it does refer to the fishery. And I think the reason for that is because the purpose of the statute was to try to restore the population, which had declined since the project was built, so that it would support the tribe's fishing and fishing by others. So reference to the fishery, the term fishery, which this court referenced in the 2004 decision involving the environmental impact statement for the 2000 record of decision, find that, I believe it's footnote 1, using a statute another statute. And essentially, fishery means a group of fish for conservation and management, often defined by geographic terms in terms of, you know, where that, where those fish spawn. A unit for management, essentially. It also means the fishing of that resource. And so I think the use of the term fishery was consistent with and reflected the goal of the statute to restore the population so that it would support fishing by the tribes and others.
You know, you never answered my question. You know, I'm going to give you one more chance, and if you don't, I'll just let it go. The question I asked you about the 1955 Act and why it didn't authorize this, and you told me you were talking about how other acts preceded it and so on. But I'd like to focus on this 1955 Act. Are you conceding that in fact the 1955 Act authorizes the release of the water?
No.
Okay, explain to me why not.
Because the in context, that provision in Section 2 of the 1955 Act was intended to address the impacts of the Trinity River provision.
You know, intended, it used to be a good argument, say, 40 years ago before Justice Scalia came along, but it's no longer good. We look at statute, not intent. And what we do is usually we look at statutory language, and I look at the statutory language, and to me it says nothing like what the district court said it said. So why don't you pull the language, so let's go over it together, and you explain to me why the 1955 Act doesn't authorize exactly what the government did here.
The language in Section 2, the first proviso itself, refers to fish and wildlife. And I would agree with the court.
Yes, it does.
Yes,
it does.
And I would agree with the court that that in itself does not have a limitation, a geographic limitation to the base, that in itself. But statutes are construed.
I'm sorry, when you say that in itself,
that
what does in itself mean? I mean, this language clearly authorizes the release. It says the Secretary is authorized and directed to adopt appropriate measures to ensure the preservation and propagation of fish, right?
Yes.
There's no geographic limitation on that. It just talks about propagation or preservation of fish. And it may do so including but not limited to the maintenance of flow of the Trinity River. So it can do that by varying the flow of the Trinity River. So why is that exactly what they did here? They varied the flow of the Trinity River in order to preserve, as it was authorized and directed to, ensure preserve the propagation of fish.
Well,
why isn't this just exactly what they did here?
Our primary argument is that that authority has been replaced and subsumed by...
I know, that's the argument I told you you were making because you didn't want to deal with this section. And if you want to go back to that argument, that's fine. But tell me about it here only distracts from the question. It doesn't help at all. It just tells me that you don't have a good answer. So do you want to answer something about this statute?
Yes.
Okay, so don't talk to me about the 86 Act or the 82 Act or anything else. Talk to me about this section. What is it about this statute that limits the authority of the government to do exactly what it did? It answers nothing, but there are other things. That's fine. We can go on to those other things.
I believe, Your Honor, the purpose and context of the statute limit the measures taken under that proviso to measures necessary to address the impacts of the Trinity River Division.
Why? I mean, what is the context of that? The section doesn't say that. It just says preserve and propagation of fish. If fish swim all over, right? It's not like a pond. I mean, it's a river. They swim, go from one river to another, they go all the way to the ocean. So it does not limit where the fish are. What it deals with is how it's done, and that has to do with raising and lowering the level of the trinity. And that's exactly what they did. Right? They released more water on the dam, which raised the river, the level of trinity. Well, what is it about the statute? What else is there? What other section can you point me to that undermines that reading?
Section 1 of the Act.
Okay, and what does that say?
It identifies the principal purpose for the construction of the Trinity River Division as being to provide water supply and hydropower for use in the Central Valley. And that's applicable here and important here in terms of understanding.
Okay, what does that have to do with where the fish are? Which is the district court seemed to think that this only authorized the preservation and propagation of fish in the Trinity and not in the Lower Klamath.
Yes.
But what does the fact that there are other purposes in the statute have to do with the question of whether this authorizes this purpose?
Because the question would be, how far can those measures go? What can those measures address? The particular conditions that were being addressed by these releases in August and September of 2013 were not conditions that were caused by the operation of the Trinity River Division. At that time of year, it's naturally a low-flow time of year. What the Reclamation was doing was releasing far above natural flows to the Trinity River to compensate for low flows in the Lower Klamath.
There was much to make it sound so nasty. So what? Well, why isn't this exactly what the section authorized? And what is it? What is there elsewhere in the statute that precludes that? Give me a section. Give me some language.
Well, Your Honor,
do you have language?
Yes, the language in Section 1, which identifies the principal purpose.
Let's read it together. What does Section 1 say that is inconsistent with that? Do you have Section 1?
I do not, Your Honor. I do not have it.
You can remember it by heart.
I do know, Your Honor, that it identifies the principal purpose. And
what does it say?
The three
different sections. We can't prepare.
Also gave him Section 1.
Principal purpose of increasing the supply of water available for irrigation and other beneficial uses in the Central Valley of California.
Yes, Your Honor, that's the language that I'm relying on. And the reason it's
how does that do anything? I mean, because you've got Section 2 that says also authorized to help the fish. So, unless you can take the position they can never implement Section 2 insofar as it compares Section 1. No. Isn't this what the agency has given up? They have two different missions, and its mission is to then balance the two directives of Congress.
Your Honor, the reason it's implicated, that purpose is implicated by Section, language in Section 2, is going to the meaning of what is an appropriate measure. And the intent,
other than releasing water, what other measure can they take?
Well, there are a variety of measures that have been discussed in the briefs, habitat rehabilitation, other measures, reducing sediment into the main stem, so forth. There are a variety of measures that can be used.
Well, didn't you argue in your brief that there were two measures they could have used? One was they could have just divided by the B-23 directive and transferred some water in August or September. But the second one seemed to fly dead in the face of what you're arguing here. It said, or buy water.
Yes.
If they bought water, they're going to release more water.
Yes.
So how does that help your argument? Because that suggests that they do have the obligation. It's just that they had to go buy it rather than release what is in the dam.
Well, the argument we're making, Your Honor, is that what the Reclamation
Act... I'm worried about the argument you're making. I'm worried about how it now affects your answers to my colleague, because those are the questions I have thought about. If it's not ambiguous, does not seem, in fact, it contradicts the position that the 2000 rod placed an absolute cap on the water that they could release. The option is available because, which says, if the option is available, they can release more. All you're arguing is they got to go find it someplace else. They can't take it from the dam. But that's not the argument. Your argument is there's a cap regardless. If they buy new water, they're still going to go over the cap, which makes Judge Kaczynski's questions that more genuine.
Your Honor, understanding what was effectuated under B-23 is the answer to your question.
It isn't the answer, because your conclusion is just opposite of what you're now arguing. That B-23 is a cap, and that's it. You've either got to do it during the time, or you can put it back. Or, and your second argument was the one that was the most confusing to me, or go buy some.
Yes, Your Honor, and the reason is because the rod was intended, and
B-23, if they buy some, they're going to go over the rod. They're going to go over the acreage in the rod. They're going to give more down the river than the rod would allow. So why is it that 1955 does not then apply to allow them to buy some and put it over the river?
Well, Your Honor, the balance that was struck in the rod was between how much goes down the river and how much is taken from other uses for the Central Valley, Project uses. If Reclamation purchases the water, effectively that they're not taking the water from those other uses.
And that they are putting more down the river.
Yes.
Which the 1955 Act allows them to do.
Although it doesn't allow them to, B-23 limits them to the volumes in the rod when they're taking water from other uses of the Central Valley. If they acquire water, they're not effectively taking water from other uses of the Central Valley.
I'm still confused, but okay. I mean, the section 2 talks about limiting the maintenance of the flow that's in the river, but they specifically talk about limiting or mitigating the flow that's in the river. There is a legitimate thing they can do. So I don't see how you can argue that that's a substantial. But there it is. Anything further?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. You had a little time for rebuttal. I think maybe 30 seconds.
Mr. Schlosser would like me to share it, so I just want to make two quick points. On the causation argument, I'd like to point out, first of all, this is an absolutely new argument on appeal. They didn't raise it below or in the comments. And secondly, and there's a 1979 solicitor opinion that's discussed in our brief where it points out that this proviso operates as a limitation and a priority for in-basin use of the Trinity River Division. And the last thing I'll say is if you look at the Improvement Act 3406B, at the very beginning, it says that the Secretary the Secretary shall operate the CVP to meet all obligations under state and federal law. It's right in there that it was not to repeal the other statutes.
Thank you. Case just argued. Stay subpoenaed.